Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, February 6, 2015. And on today's podcast, we take a look at the 70th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. And we use that occasion to examine the rampant and violent anti-Semitism at large in the world today, and especially at large in the Middle East and among Muslims around the world, particularly those, it seems, in Europe. First, some background. Auschwitz was a massive network of Nazi concentration camps and extermination camps built and operated by Nazi Germany and Polish areas annexed by Germany during World War II. Auschwitz I, the original camp, was constructed to hold Polish political prisoners. Auschwitz II, Birkenau it was known as, was a major extermination camp where some 1.25 million people, most of them Jews, were killed. Trains delivered Jews to the camp's gas chambers from all over Nazi-occupied Europe, where they were killed with a pesticide called Zyklon B. Auschwitz III was primarily a slave labor camp used to confine slaves for the nearby IG Farben factory, which made Zyklon B, among other chemicals. IG Farben was the largest chemical factory in the world at that time and the fourth largest company of any kind in the world. Following the Nazi takeover of Germany, IG Farben was involved in numerous war crimes for which many of its executives went to prison via the Nuremberg trials after the war. IG Farben was liquidated after the war, but it had previously merged with BASF at 27.4% of equity and Bayer at 27.4%. along with some lesser holders. These companies continued on after Farben ceased to exist and are still out there as BASF and the Bayer that we still see today. In January 1945, 70 years ago, as Soviet troops approached Auschwitz, most of its prisoners were evacuated and sent on a death march. The prisoners remaining were liberated January 27, 1945, which is now commemorated as International Holocaust Remembrance Day. The site of Auschwitz is now a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The 70th anniversary event, held January 27th, is expected to be the last major event in which any remaining survivors will be able to attend. 300 survivors made the trip this year. Leaders from around the world attended the ceremonies to pay their respects, including, of course, the leaders of Israel. But not the leaders of the United States. No, not President Barack Hussein Obama. He could not make it, preferring instead to attend the funeral of Saudi King Abdullah at the state ceremonies in Arabia for King Abdullah's death. The First Lady made a show, we've all seen pictures of this, made a show of not dressing in traditional Muslim fashion with head covering. She instead wore black pants with a long sleeve blue top. She did walk a few paces behind her husband, however, as Muslim custom dictates. Why did the president not make an effort to attend this ceremony? You'd have to ask him, folks, but I suspect it is because he despises the nation of Israel with a passion, and he especially despises its Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, a man who heads the only real democracy in the Middle East. The president, apparently preferring instead his friends among the totalitarian murderers and terrorists that make up most of the rest of the Middle East. I'm, of course, not sure of all this, but it seems that way to me. Speaking in India before his visit to Saudi Arabia, he stressed the vital importance of women's rights to these democratically elected Indians. But he made no mention of the Saudi blogger convicted of insulting Islam and sentenced to 10 years in prison and 1,000 lashes. Nor did he mention the 15 people that we know of for sure executed in Saudi Arabia in January of this year for such crimes as adultery and confessing Christianity. Nor did he mention the many, many hundreds, perhaps thousands, of women persecuted and killed as per Muslim custom in Saudi Arabia when the president snubbed the Paris March for French citizens killed by terrorists. His press secretary apologized for him, but no apology was forthcoming for his Auschwitz snub. He sent Treasury Secretary Jack Lew, the Treasury Secretary, but no one from the White House. Now, for one example, when I say rampant, violent anti-Semitism, I will give you one example of this sentiment according to the Wall Street Journal, weekend edition from this past weekend, quoting a story from Middle East Media Research Institute, quote, an Egyptian cleric, Mohammed Hussein Yaqub, speaking in January 2009 on El Rama, a popular religious TV station in Egypt, made the contours of the new hate impeccably clear. Quoting Mr. Yaqub, quote, if the Jews left Palestine to us, would we start loving them? Of course not. We will never love them. They are enemies, not because they occupied Palestine. They would have been enemies if they did not occupy a thing. You must believe that we will fight, defeat, and annihilate them until not a single Jew remains on the face of the earth. You will not survive as long as a single one of us remains, end quote. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? That's about as violent a hatred as it gets. Thank you, Mr. Yaqub, for clarifying the Muslim position for us. One more example, more recent example. On February 3rd of this year, a man with a knife attacked three soldiers patrolling a Jewish community center in the French city of Nice. He had the same last name as one of the men who killed the four Jewish hostages in Paris earlier. France still has 10,000 soldiers and some 120,000 security people patrolling its streets to protect Jewish property and lives from these people. When will we ever see an end to the violent virus of anti-Semitism, anti-Jewish sentiment? Not as long, I'm afraid, as we pretend that Islam is just a religion of peace, that terrorism and violent hatred have nothing to do with the Muslim religion. Finally, folks, is President Obama anti-Jewish? Maybe. Maybe so, but I doubt it. I don't think so, really. He's just anti-Israel. But that leaves the United States in kind of a bad way, doesn't it? Our leaders used to favor Jews, but now they bend their knees to jihad. At least that's the way it seems to me, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.